Everyone, it's Lynn, the founder of Society 9. Welcome back to the Fight Within podcast. I feel like it's been a few weeks since we've hopped back on the podcast, and we're so excited to have our guest today. We appreciate your patience while we got things back and rolling. We just had a bunch of inventory delivered, which is really exciting because folks are starting to head back to the gym safely. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. still masked up and still, folks are still nervous, but as vaccination rollout is happening, it's really exciting to see people rejuvenate again in their own safe ways. And we're really excited to see how things have really changed. I had a friend who was volunteering at a vaccination clinic, and she was just saying how like there was so much hopeful energy in the air. And I think we all need that. We need some hopeful and healing energy. So just feeling really reflective based on that. And one of the other things that we're really excited to see come out of, COVID is the continuation of really powerful programs for young women, specifically around boxing, kickboxing, self-defense, et cetera. And so that's actually our guest today is Mary Kate Vanecko. She's the founder of Box United, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization that uses the sport of boxing to connect communities around the world. Fight Like a Girl is their signature boxing and leadership development program for high school girls that's actually run in partnership with the U.S. consulate in Cape Town, South Africa. FLAG, as the acronym is for Fight Like a Girl, is fiercely committed to developing young female leaders who are proficient not only in jabs and hooks, but also in social impact and cross-cultural collaboration. And FLAG runs at the same time in Chicago and Somerset East, South Africa, and includes several opportunities for students to collaborate with peers from across the city and world. We're super proud to be a supporter of Box United, the start of what I hope to be a very long partnership. But yeah, Mary Kate, I thank you for joining us today. I really would love for you to share your journey with our community and how you ended up, founding and leading this thing. So take it away.
Yes, thank you, Lynn, so much for having me. Thank you for all the work you're doing at Society 9, inspiring the next generation of women boxers and fighters. But yes, I'm Mary Kate. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. And after college, I did a fellowship in South Africa through a U.S. government program. And I have always played sports my whole life. I was a competitive Irish dancer my whole life. And then I played lacrosse in college. Which, and I was a lacrosse goalie.
The Irish dancing is like no joke.
Yeah.
No, so when she says competitive Irish dancing, I mean, I remember that river dance. I remember thinking that there were people fighting on the dance floor. So
yes. No, I mean, I played Division I lacrosse, and I can say Irish dancing is like equally, if not as more hard. Like, it's like a whole little world, and you're like, and then there, it's like a beauty pageant on top of it. But I loved it. I still love it. And yeah, I think it was good for me to kind of, and it connects now to boxing. I think from a young age through Irish dancing, I was taught to really challenge myself physically. And that's something that you carry with you. But when I went to South Africa, I was in this government program, and we were, part of our fellowship was to have some sort of extracurricular activity. So I kind of showed up with a bunch of boxing gloves from my gym in Chicago, not really knowing how it would go. And luckily, the school, it was really well received. I was at a school that didn't have like structured gym class or structured sports, really. We're in a small town in the Eastern Cape of South Africa. Amazing community, not a ton of resources. And we started this boxing club after school, and we would do, I originally came in wanting to just do an all girls boxing program, but then the boys were like, well, what about us? So we would do girls 2 days a week, boys 2 days a week. And I was there through this program called Fulbright that's all about like creating mutual understanding across cultures. And I was teaching, but for me, boxing was really the most amazing way to connect with people. And it was so cool. And I look back on it so often. And I would be teaching students and some of the younger students didn't speak English. They spoke Xhosa, which is X-H-O-S-A. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say it in English to one student who would transfer Xhosa to the younger kids. And then wow. we'd all just do the boxing combinations together. But it's so amazing because you go to another country and there might be all these differences, but then sports are just this incredible way to bring people together. And in both South Africa and you and the U.S. in our histories have such interesting, throughout the history of both countries, there's so many interesting examples of how sports have been used to fight for social change. So mm-hmm. long story short, I lived in this tiny town, middle of rural South Africa. I came back to Chicago and was kind of like, gosh, there's, you know, people pay $30 for a rumble class at before work, you know, three times a week. And meanwhile, I was still really in touch with this community in South Africa. There's a man named Sia who I still work a lot with today, who grew up boxing and wanted to give more kids opportunity through boxing. The school had a lot of kids drop out early, a lot of, you know, different issues kids were dealing with. So he tried to use boxing as a tool to help support young people. And so I was so tied into that. And meanwhile, seeing all this energy and money and enthusiasm around fitness in the US, and was like, gosh, there's got to be a way to bridge those two things. And so that's why I originally founded Box United and kind of had this vision of using sport to connect communities around the world. And boxing in particular, I think, is just such a powerful, life-changing sport. And so what we did initially is that we worked with fitness studios in the US, and we'd host a charity class, but they'd get the money from the class would go to this boxing gym in South Africa. But we tried to make it go a little further, and we'd show videos of the boxers in South Africa so people got an idea of the community they were supporting. And mm-hmm. and all the meanwhile is trying to think of how can we just go beyond, you know, sending money. And we didn't want that to be our main focus, and we wanted to kind of create community ownership of programs in South Africa. And so I applied to this grant through the U.S. State Department and pitched a program called Fight Like a Girl. And what I originally applied for was a cross-cultural exchange program where girls from the U.S. would travel to South Africa one year and vice versa, and it'd be this boxing leadership development program, which didn't happen because of COVID and is still hopefully in the works. But it's kind of a blessing in disguise because we were able to pivot to this after-school boxing leadership development program that's running right now both in Chicago and in South Africa, and it's called Fight Like a Girl, and it's all about how can we use boxing to inspire girls to be their strongest, most confident selves while adding in a lot of these other discussions. And we have a whole curriculum around, you know, things like body image and racial justice and using sport for leadership and things like that. So it's a big program, but its main focus is how can we use boxing to help girls recognize their strength and then help them transfer that strength into all areas of their lives. So that's a long intro. I really got to work on the short intro, but yeah.
No, I wanted your story. Long, short, didn't matter. It's really cool how you went from Irish dancing and lacrosse to this, which I'm actually not really surprised, because like I said, I mean, like, lacrosse is super intense, but that Irish dancing is super intense too.
I'm so glad you say that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember in college I saw the club lacrosse girls play, and there was a part of me that was kind of like sad that I never like had a chance to be exposed to that, because it's such an interesting and like super badass gritty sport, which doesn't surprise me at all that you would be into boxing then, because like you naturally have to have a little bit of that grit and that energy to do it. So like with the Fulbright program, like of all of the sports or like fitness activities or things that you could have chosen, why boxing in particular did you feel like this was the right fit for the young women there? And especially now that you're talking about your bigger vision and what you pitched to the State Department for funding and all that stuff, like tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I started boxing originally as a way to stay in shape for lacrosse. And I played lacrosse my first 2 years in college, but then I stopped playing because I wanted to study abroad, and I studied abroad for a year in Ireland, in Dublin, and I joined the boxing team at Trinity College. And what I actually wrote my Fulbright essay about was this, I still remember, this experience I had boxing at Trinity, where you're training and you're working really hard, and it was my first time sparring, and I was so scared, and then I got hit. And then I realized, like, oh, I'm okay. Like, I can keep going. Like, and throughout the short time I was boxing, I just had so many experiences where it allowed me to recognize my own power and my own strength. And it completely was therapeutic and transformational for me. And I was reflecting on how most boys grow up playing some sort of contact sport, but girls, even if you grow up playing sports, you never really have the experience of hitting something. And in our program, we do boxing training. We don't do sparring, but I still think, like, using your physicality to hit something, it kind of allows you to see how much power you actually have, and that, yeah, it's been completely transformational for me. And so that's kind of why I chose boxing originally. And as we've started to develop the program, you know, unfortunately, we still live in a world where there are so many barriers to young women and women, both in the U.S. and globally. And you know, we talk to a lot of young girls, and it's just, you know, I talk to girls my age and I talk to girls younger, and every girl kind of knows that feeling of, you know, being in a parking garage and being scared, or walking home alone at night and, like, being scared. And every girl, like, knows that fear that you kind of have existing sometimes, which is horrible. And, you know, we can't solve every problem of gender inequity, but what we really want to do is say, like, how can we use boxing and the power and the strength to help people recognize everything within them, and then start to kind of address what can we do collectively to build a more equal, better world.
Yeah, and it's that heightened sense of awareness, right? And yeah, like, and you're right that it's not our job to have to constantly be on alert. Because, you know, right, men generally don't walk around with that same alertness, or yeah, like the reality of the necessity to be alert. Like, what a luxury it is to have your headphones in, enjoy your music, mm-hmm, text a friend, mm-hmm, really quick, walking to the subway, and not to have to worry about anything, right? I mean, I know that, like, sometimes when I travel to New York, or, you know, when I did travel to New York, I never listened to music. It was just constantly, like, mm-hmm, making sure I could hear everything around me. And that's for me, like, Krav Maga training of, like, the self-defense, mm-hmm, piece. I was always taught, like, do not, if you can, like, don't be looking at your phone, don't, mm-hmm, be having your ear pods in or whatever. And so yeah, I always think about that training, that muscle, that, mm-hmm, that inner fighter muscle, to create that sense of alertness, but also assertiveness too, you know? So that actually leads me to my next question, which is, on the one hand, the boxing side, of course, like, literally instills, like, a physicality of strength, a physical, mm, like, a physical embodiment of empowerment, which is why I love it so much. And I'm obviously, given what I do, I am such, yes, an advocate of, like, throw a punch, like, just learn what that feels like, because it, like, puts the seed in your body that is, like, it lights something up that, as women, self-identified women, we just don't inherently feel because of the influences that are put around us. So on the, yeah, other side is the leadership, which I think is really interesting, mm, about your programming. So tell me a little bit more about that, because the programming isn't just, like, the fitness and the, you know, the boxing. Like, tell us the yin and the yang, if you will, of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of our whole mission is that we use boxing to kind of, as you guys say, help girls see the fight within and the power within. And then how does that transfer into other areas of their lives? So, you know, it's unexpected for a girl to be a boxer, but once you recognize yourself doing something physically unexpected, maybe you then are better able to see yourself you know, taking a certain class or going to a certain college or having a certain job that's traditionally held by men, or being in a certain leadership role, whatever it is. I really believe strongly in that. And I've, you know, seen it in my own life and others' lives. And we try and help girls recognize that too. So how we do that through our program is that we have one day a week of boxing and one day a week of leadership development. And our curriculum goes through about three different phases through a variety of topics. We start with things like recognizing the voice inside your head, introduction to mindfulness, and then we move into lessons on things like body image and how can we start to see our body less as this aesthetic thing that we have to change to look a certain way and more as something that allows us to do all the things that we love and to live and to move. And then we kind of move into, you know, we kind of think at how can we be at our best individually? And then how do we kind of use that in what we do in the world? So we actually partnered this year with the Ross Initiative in Sport for Equality, this amazing organization, and they are coming in and doing about five different sessions with our students. They started with session, their whole mission is how can we use sport to unite the U.S., and they kind of specialize in conversations on racial justice and sport for leadership. They work a lot with professional athletes as well as other teams, and so they're doing sessions for our students on understanding identity and privilege and how girls can be leaders in all the conversations that are going on in our country right now. So that's one element of it. And then the other element of it is that I think as we've all seen with COVID, as our world has become so interconnected and we've recognized how interconnected it is, I think a really important thing for young people is, you know, how do we learn about other cultures and connect with other cultures and recognize how similar we all are and how connected we all are. And so we have a few opportunities where our students in South Africa are on Zoom calls with our students in the US to get to know one another and to kind of have conversations and compare experiences and have some fun. So really we incorporate the leadership development by trying to help give students tools and strategies and tangible takeaways to be at their best, and then incorporate learning experiences. A few other things we do are, you know, bring in different female speakers that work in different industries, mostly in Chicago. So kind of like exposure and personal empowerment are the main components.
That's really cool. So for you in particular, like, I mean, you shared with us a little bit about your, like, your athletic background and then your academics, how it led you to the Fulbright scholarship, which is so cool. I thought about applying for Fulbright, and I'll be totally honest, I got complete imposter syndrome, and I was like, I don't think I'm smart enough to get this, which is, that could be a whole other dedicated podcast.
Literally.
About the self-shaming and imposter syndrome that can keep you from doing really awesome stuff. So good for you that you applied and you got it. That's amazing. So for you right now in particular, is Boxing United your full-time thing? I'm going to guess that you are a queen of all trades. So yeah, how do you...
But it's so funny you say that about Fulbright, because to be honest, like when I started college, that was exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, this is some smart thing that, you know, other people do. And I've recognized throughout my life, there's been these points where I think in my head, like, that is something for this other group of people that exists.
Right.
That
not me. Yeah.
Not me. Right. And I totally believe that. And then I'm lucky that, like, I have very supportive parents and very supportive professors, and I applied. And I think having applied to Fulbright, and, you know, I was like put on a wait list and then ended up getting in, and I saw the group of people that got the fellowship and the group of people that didn't. And it's not like there were huge differences or even recognizable differences. It's just that, like, sometimes numbers don't work out and timing doesn't work out. So I totally, like, had the same imposter syndrome, and I have learned that it's not true that, like, there's this other group of people that's smarter than you doing what you want to do. It's just like circumstances and effort and luck sometimes. But yeah, I work now at Accenture in management consulting, which is another, you know, experience of imposter syndrome I've had. I studied political science in college, and after I was in South Africa, I worked at the UN Foundation, which is a nonprofit in DC. And I wanted to transition into something else and move home to Chicago. And I totally was like, well, I didn't study econ. I didn't study business. I don't know if I can work in consulting. You know, that's for people that did X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, worked at it and networked a lot and whatever. I'm really happy it worked out. But I have great friends, but I'm like always working on either fight like a girl or I also teach, you know, some boxing and yoga fitness over Zoom, which has been fun. But yeah.
Queen of all trades. I feel like, I mean, I think we are living in a renaissance period where
we are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's something we're celebrating, especially if there's ultimately joy through it. So,
yes, which is
awesome. I don't think we hit on why you chose South Africa for your, I mean, again, all places, because I know the Fulbright can take you to a million different places. And so would love to hear what motivated or inspired you in particular to pick there, or at least like maybe there was like a cause or just something in particular, but would love to hear that.
Yeah. When I studied in Ireland, I took a few courses, political science courses. One was on democratization and development in Africa, and we looked a lot at the history of South Africa, and I was really interested in some of the parallels between, you know, the civil rights movement and the anti-apartheid movement. And what's crazy is that like apartheid only ended when about 25 years ago or so, and the U.S. is still struggling with a lot of the same things as South Africa, and I think a lot of interesting parallels.
Some are even saying we're in like a Jim Crow 2.0 era,
yes,
right?
Now
so
with
it's
the,
like
the,
yeah, voting
yeah,
rights,
Georgia laws.
Say, yeah,
yeah, yeah, which is, you know, crazy. And and unfortunately, I don't speak another language. When I was in South Africa, a joke I heard was like, "What do you call three languages trilingual, two languages is bilingual, and then what do you call someone that only speaks one language?" Which is an American. But like, I mean, all my students in South Africa spoke, and South Africa is incredible because there's 11 national languages and everyone speaks at least, you know, two or three languages.
Yeah. I remember reading that in Trevor Noah's book.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that that's a great book.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's so good.
He's incredible. Yeah. Yeah. I narrowed it down, but was also really interested in some of the shared history, I guess.
Well, it's interesting how that stuff plants in your head, because like the only reason why I was interested in Krav Maga was because of a school trip to Israel.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And like, I met someone, like we met folks who were in the IDF, and we learned the history of the IDF, and, you know, they talked about Krav Maga and how it was developed to train their military in hand-to-hand combat. But then there's all these self-defense applications, and I was reading about it and I just thought it was so interesting. And I could go on and on about Israeli politics. I have feelings about that. So for I'm speaking purely for the purity of Krav Maga itself, and not necessarily an advocacy for current Israeli policy. So I always want to throw that caveat out there. But but I totally get, it's so interesting how much like those little nuggets of information, those academic nuggets, like can literally spur. I mean, look where it's taken you, like doing your Fulbright, starting this nonprofit. It's really incredible. In my case, like with Krav Maga, that started my journey, and it was
into
the training.
Boxing?
Well,
oh, really?
Well, so Krav Maga was like my original background. And then I started teaching kickboxing at the Krav Maga school. It was just the fitness class. And then it was like in that environment that Society and I was kind of born, because so many of my students were women in the kickboxing class, and they would ask me like where they could find good boxing gloves to fit their hands. And so that's the origin of, you know, all of this. So
Wow. So yeah, it's just the patterns of like the seeds being planted and then like lifting it into something else. So yeah, no, I love learning this history of Vox United, because like you and I have talked a little bit. You've sent me the materials, but like this is what I love about our podcast, is like digging in deeper about why any of us are motivated to start anything, you know?
Yeah.
So let's forecast something, because I'm all about hope right now.
Yes.
Let's say vaccinations get underway and there's a churn and burn process. Countries start opening up again to travel and tourism. Schools start opening again. Gyms, like we can actually be in person. There's no more Zoom training. Like, what is next for Vox United in like the ideal scenario that we're vaccinated? Maybe we still have to be masked up, you know, but we can actually be together now because, you know, vaccinations. What are your hopes?
Yeah. So thanks for asking. So we're currently working with 8 high schools in Chicago and 2 high schools, one soon to be 2 high schools in South Africa. And what we want to do in what we're planning and working towards is expanding our high school program, which will hopefully transition to both an after-school program and a cross-cultural two-way exchange program. And we're also working on, which I'm really excited for, building out a 2-8 Fight Like a Girl program to introduce younger girls to boxing. A lot of the research shows that girls start dropping out of sports at a younger age, and gender roles start to become very much more hard-lined at a gender age. So we really want to try and introduce boxing during those critical years. So our mission and our driving, you know, force is, how can we bring the life-changing power of boxing to more girls around the world? And I think, unfortunately, you know, we're really focused on our U.S. program, but one thing that I'm always think a lot about is just like, gosh, if you're born a girl in so many countries in the world today, you just have so many barriers. And we've seen, you know, rates of child marriage go up around the world. You know, this crazy statistic is that Melinda Gates writes about this in her book, and is that the leading cause of death for girls ages, I think, 14 to 18 around the world is childbirth, which is like so crazy. And I think that there's just all these, you know, increased child marriage, increased sexual violence, all girls dropping out of school, all these forces that have been at play during the pandemic. And I really am constantly thinking about, how can we give more girls access to boxing? But also, our Fight Like a Girl program is equally as much about creating space for conversations on topics that girls sometimes don't have space to discuss. Like, for example, in our Chicago program, especially in Chicago, we have a lot of girls, you know, they're all on TikTok, they're all exposed to all these different things. They know everything that's happening and that's going on, but there's like no good education on their bodies or space to talk about things they're scared of, or even just like talking about pressures of social media. And so we're really thinking about, how can we bring boxing to as many girls as possible, but how can we also have this curriculum that goes a step further and that really gives girls resources they need to feel, you know, at their best and like they can do whatever it is they want to do.
Well, and especially because, you know, that age group you're talking about, 14 to 18, it's like they're getting their education on social media.
Literally, yeah.
On how, on quote, how to be a woman. Right.
Right.
And that's scary. Like, that's legit scary, because of course, yes, no control. There's stuff all over the place, but also there's homogeneity in all of it too. Like, a beautiful girl looks a certain way. A beautiful woman, I should say, looks a certain way. She dresses a certain way. She talks a certain way. You're only cool if you can get viral on TikTok. So spend all your time making all these dance videos, hoping and praying you're gonna go viral. It's like, you like their whole their formative years, as you're talking about, 14 to 18, are completely predicated on like, this is how you become cool. The only way you can become cool is like, I don't know, I saw something on the news recently, just like flipping through my Apple News, some like famous TikToker who is like an 18-year-old like young woman.
Yeah.
Ended up on Jimmy Fallon, and it was like huge bust or whatever, because then it was talking about how all of her dances were should have been credited to Black choreographers. It just opened up this whole thing. The point is, though, is like, okay, so like that particular influencer, she is of these young girls' age. Mm-hmm. And if she's got 3 million followers and she is setting the tone for what is cool, scary, because she's not an adult, first of all. She hasn't seen life. And also, like, she looks a certain way. She's a certain body type. She's a certain ethnicity. There's all these layers. And then it makes you feel like if you're not that, you're never going to be cool. You're never going to be enough. You're never going to be. Mm. But here you and I are, as like adult women, doing stuff that we're obviously very passionate about and have had interesting journeys and past careers, whatever, trying to say like, hey, no, like, your journey is your own, and there's so much more beyond just that screen. And I applaud you for using the program to really address that, because you're right, like, the boxing is like just more like the physical mm-hmm. and the spiritual. But then under the spiritual is actually the soul part, right? Mm. And like, that's what I hear when you talk about how do we teach these young women to see themselves beyond just whatever is being sold to them.
Yeah. That's what's so fascinating too. And like, I mean, I fall into the social media pressures all the time, and I didn't grow up surrounded by it. Mm-hmm. But in one of our last sessions, we watched The Social Dilemma. Did you watch that on Netflix?
Yeah. You should also watch Fake Famous.
Okay, I'm gonna add that to my
list. HBO. Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay.
The whole influencer thing.
Whoa.
Yeah, they just basically show algorithmically how like it's all a game. It's like really tough. It's a tough watch. It's like eye opening, but it's just like now everything that I see on Instagram or even TikTok for that matter, I'm like, it's all just smoke and mirrors and it's crazy.
Yeah. It's so crazy. And it's like, but what scares me is that it's just like continuing to have more and more of an influence on our lives. And like, what is it going to mean for, I'm like on my phone, as much as the next person, but I'm also always that person that to my little sister is like, put your phone down. And she gets so mad at me, and I can't blame her in a way, but I'm like, always like, let's all put our phones away. Let's go on a vacation, like with no Wi-Fi. But it's scary, because it's like, social media has been such a good tool during this time, but it also, I think, has changed the way we interact with each other, and it's changed the way we think about how we perceive ourselves to the world, particularly for girls. When you think about the way, girls post on social media versus the way boys do, and it's this whole other, like, I got to get this picture, and I got to, and I go through it all the time. But yeah, we could probably talk for another hour.
That's a separate episode. Yeah, that is a whole separate episode. But I'm glad that the program is so holistic and hits different ages, because, as you're talking about the different age ranges, I channel back to, 14-year-old Lynn, 18-year-old Lynn, 25-year-old Lynn. It's like, man, there's so many journeys through each of those ages, like so many peaks and valleys. And I think what's really awesome and what inspires me with a program like Box United is like, it only further reinforces like what we're passionate about doing as Sinai, which is like seeing something like boxing or kickboxing, whatever, be like the initial access point to a greater journey. So actually, that on that note, what's a way that we can support Box United? Whether it's like, is it donations? Is it just following along and like just supporting by following on social media? What are the best ways for us to support Box United and keep posted on, the progress that you're making on the program, especially since it sounds like you're trying to expand it and the funding you can get
Absolutely. Yeah. No, as a nonprofit, we're always open to donations, which can be made at our website, vaxunited.org, which we're in the process of kind of creating a rebranding relaunch. So stay tuned for that. It'll still be vaxunited.org. Yeah. And then you can follow us on Instagram at vax_united. You know, as we start to think about how we want to use social media, that's part of, we actually have some interns from our last program working on our social media, or starting to think about how we want to use it. And, we'd love for anyone that hears this that wants to be involved in our program to reach out. You can email me at, vaxunited2@gmail.com. My Mary Kate at Vax United email stopped receiving messages for some reason, so I gotta get that fixed.
Oh no.
I just created it. Like, it's the awesome Google has like free Google Suite for nonprofit. It's all set up. I was so excited. And then it's like saying messages can't be delivered, alas. So if you're interested in our high school program, or as we work to expand our launch and expand our 2-8 program, we're always looking for people that are interested in being involved in any capacity. And we're also, another thing we're working on is, you know, thinking about how we can use our website and start to build a digital portal with our curriculum and some how to box videos. And we're doing a lot of strategizing around how we can use a hybrid digital physical model for our program. So a lot going on, and we're really so fortunate and honored to have the support of Society 9, and
awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast, and we'll be sure to have all that contact information in the podcast episode description and details. So for those of you who didn't pick up on that quickly, we'll have that in the details so that you can make sure to follow along. But yeah, thank you, Mary Kate. We'll have another episode soon to talk more about the complexities of this world.
I can't wait.
All right.